remember seeing an amazing 1987 movie entitled Wings of Desire with Peter Falk. It was a dreamlike story about angels who are able to listen word for word to the thoughts of mortal human beings, unbeknownst to the mortals. What the angels heard were often petty, negative, and quite sorrowful ruminations. The film has stuck with me over the years, and I often wonder what it would be like to know all of a person's private ideas. It would offer a glimpse into how they see the world, the interior preconceptions and filters through which they approach life. And according to author David Allen, those preconceptions can be extremely powerful.
You know, when you get on the golf course and you're about to swing, you know, the first tee, you have two options. You can either envision where you'd like the ball to wind up or that you always blow the first shot. You know, so you know, how much of it, you know, do you want to imagine the ball not only going there, but feeling the wind and hearing the crowd go, yay, at the end of it? You know, so you could keep fleshing out the image with as much detail as you might like to get to.
And do you encourage that? Does that engender a greater enthusiasm to have the picture be very graphic and detailed?
Well, I think so. I mean, do I encourage it? Well, you know, I come back to, well, what do you want? You know, what do you want to have true in your life? And the more you know, to what degree is holding positive images, you know, going to be useful to you? Well, it kind of depends on what you're trying to accomplish and what you're trying to create. If you want to have, you know, more inspiration, enthusiasm, you know, and feel like you're positively engaged, then whatever is going to get you there is probably going to be a good thing. And we certainly know that having an image of yourself, you know, with success will probably get your juices flowing, you know, in some positive way more than, you know, some sort of negative self-talk about it.
In his best-selling book, Getting Things Done, David Allen describes a system of uncluttering our daily lives, getting past the common feeling of what he calls overwhelm, and being able to focus on deeper personal goals. But then we run up against the obstacle course of life, with blockages that can seem at times almost insurmountable, legitimate goals that might appear undoable. This is where David Allen says we enter the realm of self-fulfilling prophecies. Can we change that channel and actually imagine a positive outcome?
Well, one thing we know now is just the physics, if you will, or the mechanics of how our mind works is that until you see yourself doing it, you don't see how to do it. It's how we do everything. It's how you walk and talk and get out of the room. It's how you catch a ball. You don't try to figure out which muscle group explodes when to meet the trajectory, the calculus. No, you just see yourself catching the ball. And then all these incredibly complex interactions and physics and neurobiochemical things happen simply because you just see catching the ball, and then some part of you then goes to sort of match to your picture. So we know that there's a lot of subtlety and sophistication to the parts of us that tend to line up, if you will, fancy word, teleologically. As we see something and image it, there's a part of us that tends to map a lot of our neurology and our performance and our perceptions toward that, just automatically.
So it's the brain picturing the outcome that then causes the brain to set in motion all these other processes?
Sure. And that, boy, we have a lot of opportunities for that. When you start a meeting, you know, what do we want to have true by the end of the meeting? Not only what do we want to have accomplished, but you can get as subtle as how do I want people to feel? How would I like to feel? What would I like to have true by the end of this at whatever level you can imagine that? So we have an infinite opportunity to be formatting or formulating or focusing on different kind of outcomes that we might want. And though in a way it's somewhat self-evident, there's a huge improvement opportunity. How many meetings have you ever been in that were unfocused? Nobody asked the question, what are we trying to do here? And, you know, when things go weird, that's the only way to give yourself salvation. It's go, well, excuse me, what are we trying to accomplish here? Now, what are we trying to accomplish? Because that then gets people to then focus on an outcome. Half of the equation of getting things done is defining what done means. So, you know, as we become aware of issues or problems or conflict or dissonance in our life, it is not a self-evident and automatic thing that we sit down and say, okay, so what would resolution look like? What would finality look like? What would completion or closure on this look like? That seems to be something that oftentimes we'll even resist doing.